This is Educating Technology, a podcast about using technology in our schools. Last time, Chris and I checked in to see how our summer projects were going. This week, I'm going to talk with Chris about what it's like to go through a construction project. If you like what we're doing, you can support us by going to patreon.com/educatingtech and becoming a patron. Now, on with the show.
I was actually counting before I even found the timer. I knew it was there somewhere, and I'd eventually find it.
Well, I said click, and then waited like half a second, and then actually clicked. So,
oh, okay.
I don't know what I was thinking.
So we were both lying to each other.
Yeah, it's okay. But it's who cares?
Right?
That's fine. That's right. So last week, we checked in on our summer projects, and, well, they're still going because it's still summer. Actually, today, as we record, Thursday, what's today? June 21st is actually the first day of summer, I think.
Yep, and the longest day of the year.
And National Selfie Day, if you're into that sort of thing.
Are you serious?
Apparently. Apparently it's a national day for everything. And I just don't know why.
We need a national day for national days.
I know, that'd be a good one. That should be like
National Day.
Yeah, National Day. National Day of national stuff. I don't know. It's weird. But today, because we do not work on Fridays during the summer, I went ahead and we have makeup testing starting Monday. I think EOC testing, I guess
yeah,
kids
makeups.
That missed. And so I pushed out the existing, and I told the counselor that I was going to wait until like today to do it because I wanted to make sure that I had the latest version of the secure browser because they actually did it to me last summer where there was an update from when we tested at the end of school into when we tested in summer, there was an update and everything had to be updated again. And I had to do it like 5 seconds before the test actually started because that's when we discovered it. And so
that's
I was like,
fun.
Yeah. So I waited till today. I downloaded the file from their website and installed it. And I put it on labs that I had just redone. The new labs, new computers, brand new. Put them in there, hooked them up, imaged them and everything. So the way I do it is whatever version of Windows 10 is available at the time when I get these computers is what I put on there. And so I am running, I guess it was the, what was it?
Was
Spring
it
Creators Update? It became April 2018 update. Basically build 1803 is what it was. And so you try to run the secure browser application from ETS and it does like these, does like a browser check, a network connectivity check, and then it does like a security check and it failed. And I'm like, what is going on? And usually that means it's because, when I've seen that in the past, it's because it was the needed an update or something. And so I was like, why? I just literally installed this, downloaded and installed it. It cannot be out of date. And so I clicked the little question mark. And it said, please close microsoftedge.exe. And I'm thinking, I literally logged into this computer and opened this application. Microsoft Edge is not running. I did not click on it. I did not open it. But I discovered, after I closed the secure browser application, I did the Control-Alt-Delete, because apparently that is still a thing for some things. And I opened up the Task Manager, and I noticed that Microsoft Edge was running. And it was like doing some background things in the background. And so I was like, okay. So I opened Microsoft Edge, like clicking on it by the icon, and then I closed it. And then I opened up secure browser again, and then it was able to do its security checks and go on through. And so I reported the bug to the two email addresses that I found on the Texas Assessment website, and they conveniently responded to my email with a ticket number or whatever and said, please direct your issue to the tech support team, and did not provide me a way to contact the tech support team. So,
well, that's fun. I mean, we all know that this company's about nothing but customer service already.
I mean, so I just thought it was kind of funny. It's like, please direct this to the tech support team.
You know, maybe it's a good time for me to release that little bug that I found where you can open their test and start taking them in Chrome normally.
I know. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'll release that user agent on Twitter or something for them.
Get past that secure browser, the actual secure part, and just do it on whatever you want.
Yep. It works.
So, I mean, yeah, it's like, but it's just one of those little things. And, you know, I can't really fault them. I mean, Windows 10 1803 literally just came out like 2 months ago. I mean, so they probably haven't done much deployment testing with the new version of Windows. But it's just funny that when I report the bug, instead of saying, yeah, thanks, we'll look into it or we'll send it to the right people, it's like, please. It's like they wanted me to do it. And I was like, and they didn't even leave me a way to contact them. It's just funny.
Didn't they, you said they gave you a ticket, right?
Yeah, they gave me, they basically created a ticket that, like, when you go onto their little support site where you can view whatever request you have open, you can see is that you sent them an email with the email subject title. Okay. And you can't click on it. You can't do anything else. It's just stupid. It's a stupid system. Everything is stupid about it, and I just don't like it.
It's a stupid system.
So as I put on my little Twitter rant that I did, it's basically open and close Edge, and it'll work, or just use Chrome OS. Use a Chromebook. So,
well, I mean, that's actually been the answer to a lot of their problems so far.
You just use a Chromebook?
Things seems to work better for their testing on a Chromebook.
Yeah, and like you always told me, it's like when it fails on Chrome OS, it at least fails better than when it fails on Windows.
I mean, it's sad that we have to plan on it failing, but it does so often.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like just because of the disaster that testing was this year, I wonder if the problems I was having with my wireless during when we were doing like practicing with the students and stuff.
Yeah,
I wonder if it really wasn't me. I wonder if it was them all along.
It could have been. They've had issues with every single administration.
It's bad. It's terrible.
But we'll continue to renew that contract, right?
Of course. Thank you, State of Texas, for that. We really appreciate it. And you know, like
forward thinking.
And you know what's bad is eventually it's all going to be online testing. The paper the paper tests are eventually going to go away. And you know, I would be fine with that, except I don't think I have enough devices to test everybody online at one time.
We're pretty much 100% online testing except for the elementary.
I mean, we really only do the online parts for the kids that need, like, the extra benefits.
The accommodations and stuff.
Yeah, the accommodations and things like that. For the most part, I mean, and so that's not the majority of our students testing. I mean, that may be, like, 30 in each grade. Although,
think of the funding you would get if it was.
Oh, well, that's true. And that's sad, isn't it?
It is.
I get it that some kids need extra benefits, but I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't really like the idea of funding per kid personally, but it's just weird. It just, to me, I don't like them putting a price on a kid. Just
$8,000.
It's just kind of weird.
Do you know that?
Yeah. And then well, that may be for you, but I think depending on, for me, it may be a little less or a little bit more.
I think that's the base. And then if you're like Title I, you get more things. And if you're not, you get others, or yeah, those kind of things.
I just don't like that.
$8,000 per year.
I don't like that because it's like, that's basically saying that a student in like the suburbs of Dallas, like in the McKinney area and Allen area, they're worth more than the students down here.
Well, sometimes, Matt, the truth hurts, and we just have to face it that those students on I-45 are worth more.
it's just terrible. I mean, I just don't. It just, why can't all students just be funded the same across the board, no matter where they go to school?
Right.
That would just, to me, that would be the smart thing to do.
And it would sure be a heck of a lot easier to budget.
Yeah, it's like, how much are you going to be worth this year? Or are you going to be worth the same as you were last year?
Did you get a new prescription on your glasses, or did you like, you got a broken arm right now? Okay, so let's recalculate that.
Yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's, I mean, just fund all the kids the same. I mean, you got to have some way to fund schools. I mean, I get it. And so I understand why they do it like per student. I mean, it just makes sense. If you got a school that has more students, and yes, a school that has more students should get more than a school that doesn't have as many students. Because it takes more resources to educate those children. But those students shouldn't get more money from the state per student than, say, anywhere else. I mean, it's just because, I don't know, it's just weird. Okay, that's a weird tangent. That's a story for another day.
Especially for something we don't know a whole lot about.
Yeah, that's like some inside baseball of like how Texas education actually works and how terrible it actually is. So, public education Texas. For you. Yeah. But this week, as you know, I am going to start construction projects here pretty soon, hopefully. And you've been through a couple of them. And so I wanted to talk with you as far as our topic, quote unquote, topic of the day. as far as like how construction projects go. Like
horrible.
Well, that's our show this week. But no, I mean, just things like what should I be expected to do from your experiences? Like, is there things that I should do that normally you wouldn't have to do? Like things like, do I need to basically follow up behind every contractor that's doing anything to make sure that things get done right? What should I kind of expect from contractors as far as like if something doesn't get finished or breaks in the process or breaks afterwards? I mean, those kinds of things.
Best piece of advice I have is get to know your foreman.
The foreman?
The foreman.
That's the guy that's in charge, right?
Not the three men, the foreman.
The foreman, okay.
Yeah. Because ultimately, in the end, he's the one wrangling all the contractors, and it's nice to have a single point of contact. When we were building our high school, I got to know our foreman pretty well. And everything I did go through him, with the exception of the AC controls. And for some odd reason, I just dealt with them directly because I had dealt with them in the past on other projects. So I already knew them. But, yeah, if it's on things like cabling locations and whatnot like that, yeah, stay on top of them.
We'll see.
Because won't be in the right spot, or they'll put a floor plate when you didn't want them.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird because, I mean, because it's the hurricane thing, we're having to go through FEMA for a lot of things too to help help fund some of the products. And then we also did some stuff through E-Rate, and like some things that we know they were going to do, we were able to file E-Rate for. And so they're just kind of sitting there waiting for the construction stuff to happen. And in that company, or that with the E-Rate stuff, we were actually able to pick our own vendor doing our little matrix and thing like that. And we've worked with them in the past, and so we know that if we tell them, hey, put a drop here, the drop is going to get there. But a lot of things, like we have in some instances, like when cabling was done after the fact on like a brick wall or something, and they use something called Panduit, which is basically surface mount coverings
Double stick plastic holes.
Yeah, in some instances, some people like screw them to the whatever the wall is behind it. Well, not only in brick places we've done that, but it's like some places they did it where there was like sheetrock or something that got cut out. But for some reason there was Panduit on the wall.
I don't know. That stuff ain't cheap.
No. And so part of the project is, okay, well, that stuff has to be reattached and fixed back, like fixed surface boxes and stuff like that that may need to be redone. Well, that all ended up being part of the bid of the construction company. And so at that point, I guess construction companies, they subcontract everything out. And so they've reached out to other vendors that we may or may not have used in the past, depending on who they actually pick, because they go through their own bid process to get things done. And so it's like, it's just going to be weird dealing with all these different companies for doing the same project. And so
it ends up being a nightmare. In fact, in our case, the company that did our cabling and fiber work for the high school doesn't exist anymore.
So and who do you call when something breaks? Because it's supposed to have been warranted for like 30 years or something.
But it's not. They don't exist anymore. And it's going to happen to you too. And in fact, halfway through the construction project, the AC and all the HVAC stuff had to switch companies because the company went out of business that was doing it. So they didn't exist anymore.
Man, that's a nightmare.
And it happens a lot because, I mean, you know how it works. Lowest bid gets the pick. And a lot of these construction companies, no offense if you are one listening, they bid out a bunch of stuff. They lowball everything, go bankrupt, and then start a new company under a different name.
Yeah.
And do the same thing again.
It's not just contracting companies that do that. It's a lot of people that do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you run into the same people, but it wasn't the same company. So your warranties and all those contracts are null and void.
Yeah. And one thing that I'm kind of seeing too is it's almost like, and I've seen it happen with not just contractors, but I mean, and I'm not in the know in anything, but just kind of the things that I'm kind of sometimes when I ask questions, it's like, as far as like, when are we getting started? And I kind of get an update. It's like what the process is going. It's almost like they don't read everything that needs to be bid. And so their bid comes in like super low. And when you do like your matrixes, because they had to, because it's a government thing, so the school had to do them, the FEMA has to do a matrix, and then the board has to approve the contractors and all this other stuff. And so someone comes in like a lot lower than everybody else, and you're like, well, I mean, you sort of have to pick them because of the price. Well, and then you come to find out it's like, well, we're not going to do all of that for this price. Well, that's what you turned in. It's like, you didn't bid the entire project. And so there's a lot of back and forth with stuff. And so I don't know. Yeah. I'm glad that I don't have to deal with that part.
I know our bid for our new school, I think it was about 600 pages.
That's a lot of trees.
It's insanity. I mean, and it has to be like hand delivered and triplicate, and I swear. But
yeah, and closed bid and everything's secret until like you open them, and it's weird.
Like, hey, surprise! I didn't want any of this.
But yeah, it's just going to be interesting. And it's like one of the things that we have to do is like we have to move a network rack, and so that was one of the things that wasn't included in the actual project. They told us that we had to get it done before construction actually would start or whatever.
Are they trying to put like some HVAC controls there or something?
No, they want to turn it into a hallway.
A hallway where the
current rack is. It's going to be a hallway based on the way the architect designed it. Because we're also taking this opportunity, since we basically have to remodel these areas because of the hurricane, to do some of that school security stuff. And so,
which is fantastic. It's the best time to do it.
Yeah, and so they're building like a... The word of the day, I guess, is vestibule.
Yeah.
I've never heard that word.
And foyer, vestibule.
Yeah. I've never heard vestibule. It's like, that's one of them SAT
words. It's an old word.
Yeah, but they're building a place where people, it's like a lockbox. You go in and you don't move until somebody lets you out of it. That's the way I kind of think of it.
And if you answer wrong, gas starts shooting out of the corners.
Well, I don't know about that, but I know it's going to be like this big glass box that you're going to go into and you can't get past without like somebody escorting you and things like that.
Yeah.
And so they're going to build one of those in the front of the building, and turn that building that's having construction work done, and kind of, they're moving all the offices over there to make that like the central location for all the visitors to come into. And
which is what needs to happen. I mean, yeah. the more you can keep the public separated from the children, the better.
Yes. And I guess they wanted a bigger box than the space that's there allocates. And so they have to take in part of the library where my rack is, and so where my rack is actually going to be a hallway.
How many drops do you have running into that closet?
A bunch.
And is there enough slack where you can move it?
Well, here's the thing. Where we're moving it to, that half of the building should have enough slack because it's going towards, I guess, one side. And it's just really moving like 30, 40, 50 feet over. That's a lot, though. I know. But, and so there should be enough slack in that. And the part that's going to get cut because it's not long enough, that was all going to get redone because of offices being built anyway.
Okay. Well, and that's not too terrible.
So, but what worries me is if we have to use that building for school before the construction is done, kind of like what we did this year, leave it up plywood walls and stuff, we were basically told to get this rack moved. And so we're moving forward with getting that done this summer. Half of that building will not have network access.
That'll be fun.
And so I'm a little concerned about that. I mean, I've already pulled access points and projectors and stuff out of ceilings, and we're committed. We're committed that rack's getting moved and those cables are getting cut.
Well, I mean, I guess it's just kind of one of those unavoidable things. I mean, you got to move it. You got to move it.
Yeah. I mean, so it's got to go. And so, but it's like, I think they may have to like extend some cables, you know, cheat a little bit.
Oh, and how do you do that?
Well, I mean, do it like I've always done it. You just throw a jack on the end that you cut and put an RJ11 on or RJ45 on the other part and then wrap it up.
Man,
with
what were those? What were those little quick clips that we used to use for telephone stuff?
Oh, those are those. Oh, yeah, I remember those.
they're completely out of spec for instance. Where you got a little red knob and you squeeze it real tight.
Yeah, your cables are like smashed up against each other and you like clip them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what were those called?
Splice clips or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's not going to work. I mean, I've extended some cables. I mean, I've done it at the house. I mean, I had to extend some cables here when I did my little network closet a couple weeks ago. And it works fine. I mean,
yeah, in most cases it'll be fine. You do introduce some loss and some failure points, but it probably won't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're talking like a whole lot of cables. I mean,
we all know Cat 5e will go over 400 feet. Yeah. You're just not supposed to.
Yeah. But yeah, it shouldn't be. I don't even think it'll be that extended that much. And the really only place that I'm really worried about is like a lab. But it's not even going to be a lab anymore. And so if we just have to rerun like three drops in that room, that's not that big a deal.
Now, I'll take it back out of spec stuff. When I was at the university in the Montaigne Center, we had one run that was 560 feet.
Well, the thing that I've noticed about long runs is it may not fire up at a gig. It may not fire up at 100 meg, but if you manually set your network card to be like 10 base T.
Yeah, this one would negotiate at 100, but the power over Ethernet was a little flaky.
Yeah, I imagine so. But yeah, if you just dumb down that network card to a different protocol, it should work just fine.
I think, because
10 base T will go farther.
The history of TCP/IP was, its original spec was it had to run across barbed wire.
I think it still will too.
For real. For real. I mean, yeah, you're not gonna be happy with the connection, but it will do it.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're going like 3 feet, you might could do it over barbed wire in your gig, but I don't think you're gonna be running barbed wire in your schools to
I guess that's where that command apt-get moo came from.
Yeah, apt-get moo.
Yep.
That's funny. But yeah, so yeah, construction projects, man, I'm not really looking forward to it. I mean, just
yeah, the only I don't have a lot of them this year. Praise the Lord, because I swear for the past 10 years has been a construction project somewhere. So I'm looking forward to a normal summer this year, but I just got to do some drops and cameras and those kind of things, normal stuff. Yeah. No moving buildings.
Yeah. Well, we had to move out and we'll probably have to move back in. And so it's just a nightmare, but that's okay. And we're also they're basically repainting the whole junior high, I think, right now. And so they're only going to build a wall in the junior high, and it's going to be huge. There's a little.
By who's going to pay for it?
probably FEMA, maybe. I don't know. Oh, or okay. The school district. but it's because they're going to build a vestibule there too, and so basically all it needs is a wall built, a big glass wall or something like that. So that's not that big a deal, and that's not really going to affect anything that I have going on in there. But right now, it's like we're stuck at a standstill with anything that we can do at the junior high because we're waiting on painters. Because, get this, and this is another thing I don't understand, and it could just be me not knowing how things like that work, but we have these painters, and they got this thing, because apparently it's easier to run metal conduit on the wall than it is to run things, than it is to fish things into the wall.
Absolutely.
And so there's a lot of that going on, and so apparently, it means cut in. When you paint around that stuff, it means to cut in. That was new to me. I did not know that.
It doesn't make sense to use the word cut anytime you're painting, but okay.
Yeah, but that's what they call this, is they're cutting in. And so, to me, it would make sense. It's like, you get to this place, you got to paint. Okay, well, all the painters go to this one room, do the cut-ins, paint the wall. Go to the next room, do the cut-ins, paint the wall. Go to the next room, do the cut-ins, paint the wall. That's apparently not how these painters work. They're apparently doing all the cut-in, and they had to do it all three times to get the three coats of paint. And then now supposedly they're going to go back and actually paint the other parts of the walls. And so I'm like, I need to get in these three labs. I need you to get these walls painted. It's like, why did you not do these first? We asked you to do these first.
We did the cut-ins.
Yeah, they did the cut-ins. And so it's just, I don't know. It's a learning experience. Let's put it that way. But, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, I don't understand how painters work. Painters don't understand how I work. I don't understand how construction people work. Construction people don't understand how network people work. So, I mean, I guess it's just a...
We all have no idea what anyone else is doing.
No. That's the thing. It's like,
and we're all confused about why we're doing it that way.
Yeah. It's like, don't you think you ought to do it this way? It'd be better. It's like, have you ever swung a hammer? Nope. But it's
well,
like,
don't start now.
Yeah. They won't let me use power tools at work. It's it's sort of a running joke that it's like, let's put it this way. I cut my finger on a doorknob.
They're round. How'd you
A round doorknob. I cut my finger on it.
How?
It actually got pinched underneath the doorknob.
And the little covering that went around?
Yeah, the little gap between the actual like piece that goes through the door and the actual doorknob itself. My finger somehow got stuck into there, and when I turned it kind of ripped my skin a little bit. But
oh, wow.
I cut my finger on a tape dispenser. I mean, it's bad. I mean, they don't really let me use tools. In fact, I picked up a screwdriver to try to put a faceplate on an electrical outlet, and I shocked myself. So, I mean, it's just, I'm a disaster waiting to happen when it comes comes to things like that. It's so, but yeah, we had to, one of the maintenance guys came and helped me build something back in my office, built my wall back in my office to separate me from my servers after the hurricane. We had to rip it all out, and he wouldn't let me use the nail gun, so... I was a little disappointed in that.
Please, I won't shoot you.
Please let me use the nail gun. It was really funny. It's like I'm holding this wood. All of a sudden, it's like this nail just shoots across right beside me because he missed the stud and it just shot up against the wall. And I'm like, whoa, what was that? He's like, yeah, you better not stand behind the wall. It's like, okay.
That's good stuff. Yeah,
so I'm not a construction kind of person. So, but it'll be interesting because I just have a feeling it's like you just got to stay on top of them. Go behind them. I guess, like you said, get to know the foreman, take them to lunch, buy them a gift card for dinner or something.
I wouldn't say I'm going that far, but at least you only have one point to complain to.
Yeah, complain to one guy.
So, and eventually he'll get tired of listening to you and actually do it.
So did you ever have any instances where, like, supposedly after they were done, something came up that wasn't right?
Yes.
How does that work? Is it like a nightmare to get them to come back out and fix it?
No, not as long as the company still exists. It's not. And one of the things that on all construction projects, the last payment's withheld until the checklist is done.
I got you.
And they want that payment. Yep. So they generally work a lot faster after they're out of there and things are going. Because where I had an issue, we had... And this is going to sound bad, but we had to put in an analog patch panel, a punch-down block, for some telephone lines to come in from another area where they were coming in, and they grounded them all out.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, apparently this cabling company had never done analog telephone. So, understandable, it's a different animal, I get it. But they had to come fix it, because fax machines and fire alarms and security systems still require them.
Yeah, depend on that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it really wasn't that bad. I mean, it took about a week for them to come out, but they did fix it. And we've had a couple things here and there that it took a lot longer to get fixed, but it wasn't anything on my end. It was actual, like, cabinet makers, countertop laminators, those kind of things. Some floor issues where gluing wasn't done right. Those things took a little longer.
I got you. Because
those guys are stretched so thin across every job.
Yeah. Especially this time after hurricanes when everybody's busy.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I remember
one of the issues that we had when we were doing construction is there was a shortage of mason workers. So bricklayers' salary was like at 80 bucks an hour.
How do you lay bricks?
I know. I was like, I'll stop doing what I'm doing right now and get out there.
I mean, are we like chomping through the mud with some hay, like building our own bricks like in the old days? Or what are we doing?
It was just traditional. It was a cinder block building. So, I mean.
Just mortar and brick, right?
Mortar and brick.
I mean, I'll do that for $80 an hour.
No kidding.
It's like, how much do I need to work to get an iMac Pro? That's what I'll commit to. But yeah, I just hope that whatever construction company we end up going with, and it seems like, and we have a real good architect. He seems like he's on top of everything, and he may be the guy that will be our point of contact for everything because he seems to be the one making decisions on like what actually has to be done because we don't know. I mean, we don't build buildings.
Do you know what architect firm you're using?
No. I mean, I know it if I hear it.
It's Architect Alliance?
I don't know. Okay. Maybe. That does sound familiar. Do you know the guy's last name?
Well, there's a bunch of them, but the logo is like two A's.
Is it Crump? No. I think the last guy's last name is Crump. I think the guy's last name is Crump or something. But he's a real nice guy. I mean, real nice guy.
Is he getting crunk with it?
I don't know. But he basically kind of told me something that I really like to hear. I asked him about the floor in my server room because it's got to come up. And I was like, well, how will we do around the racks? Will I need to like unload the rack, pull the rack out, take the towel up around it? And he said, no, we'll probably just have to cut around it. And he said, and he told me something I really liked. He said, and it might even just be best just to leave your server room concrete because then you won't have to really worry about static. And I was like, that's a great idea. I was like, can you do that to my office too? Can I just have concrete floor?
Yeah, all of mine are. They are all concrete now.
So I think that might actually be what we do is my server room might actually be concrete floor. And
it's awesome.
If my office gets made concrete too, I would love that as well, because I kind of like concrete floor. It's simple. It's elegant. It's nice. Not maybe not elegant, but
not about to say not elegant. Depending on how level it is,
yeah.
Chew up through some casters in a chair real quick.
Well, I'm planning on putting like a rug down and like a chair roller on top of it, kind of like what I do here at the house, because I don't like chair mats that for hardwood floors because they slide. None of them.
Yeah, I got one of those, and it likes to. Depending on how the temperature is in the house, you can step on it, and it's like stepping on a slip and slide.
Yeah, and so I just kind of lay like a thick rug down, and then I get a chair mat that's for like low carpet with like the little bitty teeth, and so yeah. It just sits on top of the thing. And so I'll probably end up doing something like that on the concrete floor, so I won't do it. But it's like the tile floor that we have now, I don't know if it's because it was underwater or what, but it's just like the casters on the chair are just eating it up. I mean, it's just bad.
That's funny.
There's like just this big circle where my chair goes. It's just so funny. But but yeah, okay, so as we finish up today, let's do what we were supposed to do last week, but we ran too long and we didn't do it. Because it's summertime, and summer is not all work, sometimes it's play, I want to know something that you're kind of into right now. It could be anything. It's technology, it could be anything you want to do. So as I read this ad, be thinking about that, because I might have just dropped this on you as a surprise. I'm picking a Netflix show, because I like Netflix and I like TV. But today's episode, we can thank Audible for sponsoring us this week, audibletrial.com/educatingtech. You can go there and you can get a 30-day free trial that comes with a free audiobook of your choice from their extensive catalog. And this book is yours to keep even if you choose to cancel, which I think is a pretty good deal. I mean, if you end up not liking audiobooks, but if you're listening to a podcast, I think you're going to like audiobooks, because it's like it's the natural progression. I mean, in spoken word, you go from podcast. You go from people like me that thinks they know what they're talking about to actual people reading stuff from people that actually do know what they're talking about. So, and so it's just sort of a natural progression. I'm going to go ahead and give my pick first this week, because I always let you go first and I'm being selfish today.
Go for it.
My pick this week is called Crazy Is My Superpower by AJ Mendez. What our listeners may or may not know about me, I have grown up loving professional wrestling, and it is like fun to watch. It's just something that I've always enjoyed. And so this book is written by one of a female professional wrestler who talks about how she has like these mental problems where she struggles with some mental disabilities, and how it's actually made her better in the things that she does. It talks about her struggle with it, the struggle with figuring out that it was sort of hereditary for her, because her mother dealt with the same issues, and they sort of got passed down to her, and just how she overcame some of these things to be as successful as what she ended up being. And if you're into, I mean, it's also just kind of a feel-good story to hear somebody overcome some adversities, and it's just really good, and it's a really good story, and it's actually AJ Lee was her wrestling name, and her real name is like AJ Mendez. So really good book. Crazy Is My Superpower. What do you have for us?
Well, I actually have a really old one, and it was actually written by a guy in IT, and that was one of the reasons I had originally picked the book, because hey, let's see what somebody would write that's in the kind of same field that I am as fiction. And it's a really cool story. It's called Demon. It's by Daniel Suarez. It's basically about a game designer's demons, which is a computer program that runs in the background, what they do after his death. And it's kind of a what if scenario thing could happen now, I guess, but with the Internet of Things, it's more relevant now than it was in the past. But it's one of those books that would make a really cool action movie. So if you like action movies and you like, I guess I hate to say it, but you like violence, you'll love this one.
Yeah, I read that book after you recommended it to me a long time ago, and it is really good. I mean, it's like a mystery and puzzles and everything else, and yeah, it would make a really good movie.
Yeah, the second one takes it a little too far in my opinion, but
yeah,
this
I like
great.
I like the first one better than the second one, but you know, I mean, there's really only been one sequel that's been better than the first movie, and so or
what would
books.
That be?
Empire Strikes Back, dude. Star Wars. Empire Strikes Back is still the best Star Wars movie.
What's funny, I recommended these books to somebody in the past, and they read them out of order, and were so confused.
That's funny. It's like, how is this dude dead and now he's alive? I don't get it.
they were so confused. Why did you recommend those to me? Well, you
read them out of order.
You read them wrong. Come on. How does it make sense?
Yeah, it's so it's funny.
Yeah, so don't do that. Read Demon first. I'm not even going to tell you the sequel.
And you could just really stop after that one too if you really want to. Let's just be honest. But okay, so something we're into right now, and for me, I am picking a Netflix documentary show called Wild Wild Country, and it is about an Indian guru that came over from India that had some followers. Basically, it was a cult, and Rajneesh or something. Okay. And they basically bought all this land, like 80,000 acres in Oregon, and they turned it into a city, dude. I mean, they brought in houses, they built restaurants and stores, and they basically built a city. And they even went through all the legal requirements to actually incorporate. And so it actually legally became a city. And then, like, the neighboring town, which it was close to, I think the ranch was called, like, Muddy Water Ranch. And just what's really kind of ironic, it's actually like a Christian youth camp now. is the ranch. It goes from being a cult place to a Christian ranch, and the town near over tried to do things to get them to leave, and what they actually did was they actually started buying all the available real estate in that city, and so basically they took over that city. And so, and then, like, the county was coming after them. And so, they, like, went over all over the country and, like, bust in all of these homeless people that were living all over the country into this town that they've built and started registering them to vote. And so, it's just insane, the craziness and the lengths that we went to. I mean, it's a true story, too. It happened in the early 80s. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Cool. I mean, and so I recommended it to my dad, and my dad was like, I don't know how you got into that. I was like, it's just because it was so weird and interesting that actually happened. It's like they just came over and they took everything over. It was just, it's a really interesting story. I can't recommend it enough if you like documentaries and weird things like that, I guess. Weird for those people that were...
I like weird stuff, too. So.
I mean, not weird, for the people that... I mean, they saw something in this guy and what he was saying and teaching and stuff. And so, I mean, I guess that's... If that's your thing, fine. But
if you want to get technical, I guess all religions start as a cult.
Yeah. But it's just sort of funny. And just, like, the things that happened as far as, like, when the FBI started getting involved and thing. It was just... And it's only, like, 6 parts long. So, I mean, it's, like, 6 hours. 6 or 7 hours if you count it all total. I think there's some episodes that run over an hour. But it's just really interesting. Wild Wild Country on Netflix. And it's kind of a big craze right now that a lot of people online are into. And it just took me a little while to find it, and I finally watched it. It was really good.
Oh, that's cool. Sounds like a cool story. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it was.
I actually do have Netflix. I'm not that introverted.
Yeah, it's very weird. I mean, just all these people just randomly show up in Oregon. I mean, of Oregon of all places. I mean, Oregon. They literally took. I mean, this was like desert.
Did they
ranch.
Take the trail though?
I don't know. They died of dysentery on the way. And they killed too many buffalo that they could carry in their wagon, so they just had to leave them. But no, they literally took, like, it was like desert and rock, and they literally, like, farmed this land back to life. I mean, it was really kind of cool what they did. They made this desert green. I mean,
that's
it,
cool.
They turned it into farming land and did irrigation, and they brought, like, the country back to life. I mean, in a way, like, the actual country, the land. And they were growing food and all sorts of things. And so, I mean, it's just really neat. And so, just a very cool story.
Very cool.
So what one thing or more, if you want to do more, we can do more. I can keep going all day. are you interested in?
Well, y'all may know, I like video games. I'm that kind of dork. and I love Bethesda titles. Bethesda is a publishing company. They did I'm sure everybody's heard of Skyrim at this point. I think it's been on everything, including your toaster at this point. And they even have a version of Skyrim on the Alexa now.
I saw that.
Very special edition as a joke, but it actually works. Fallout 76 is coming out, and I've got a beta membership to it. So I'm actually going back through the old Fallout games right now. I love that story. It's a cool story. If you haven't, it's a post-apocalyptic thing. So, yeah, of course, it's right up my alley. But of course. I mean, it's got nuclear war and crazy monsters. Why wouldn't you like it, right?
It's the best.
But those are what I'm just going through those right now. I mean, I'm a pretty basic person. I'm not into anything, really. But
that's okay, because I could sit here all day and talk about TV shows that I like. I love the TV medium. I mean, I'm going to a movie today as we record. I'm going to see the new Jurassic World
movie. I'm working to see how I can delay you just to jack with you.
It's okay. I didn't tell you the actual time the movie started, so I'm...
You told me 5.
I told you that's when I needed to leave.
Oh, hold on. Let me go look it up. I know which theater you're going to.
I didn't tell you what time I was actually going to the movie. Maybe I was just going to do some other things.
I have this portable EMP.
Oh, don't do that, man. Don't scare me like that. That book already scared me.
They're actually really easy to make, by the way.
Yeah, you just need some plutonium and...
I'll just get a couple microwaves.
Plutonium, some fertilizer, and some ammonia. Is that what we need?
Dude, are you trying to get our show banned?
I mean, hey, you read the books, not me. But all right, so that's what we're into. Chris is into Fallout video games, and I'm into weird Netflix shows. So
I'm going to definitely check yours out. That sounds cool.
It is. I mean, I'll watch some weird stuff too. I mean, that was just crazy. I mean, it just blew my mind. And then another one, if you're into documentaries, and I don't want to get like all religious here. Another good one is called Going Clear. I think HBO did it or somebody did it. It's about Scientology. That was probably the scariest
thing. Is
that the
one
that
had, what's that lady from?
Leanna Remi?
Yeah.
No, this is another show. This was this was before that. This was like about 3 or 4 years ago. Somebody did a documentary called Going Clear, and that was probably the scariest thing I've ever watched in my entire life.
Okay. Yeah, I've read about them. They got some pretty funny stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, I mean, if you're into documentaries about other religions, check out Wild Wild Country or Going Clear, I guess. But
cool. Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah, but that's our show this week. For links and show notes, you can go to educatingtech.net/40. We are at episode 40. We're actually, I guess, we're coming up on the actual 12 more episodes will be the actual year of shows if we did a weekly show. But sometimes we're a little off. But 40, that's a pretty big number. I like that.
Yeah,
we'll get to triple digits. Maybe for our 100th show, maybe we'll do like a live hangout or something. Or doubt it. Never mind. Pretend I didn't. I'll just edit that out.
He has said it now, and the longer I talk, the harder it's going to be for him to edit it out.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, but send us any feedback you have to @educatingtech on Twitter, or send an email to educatingtech@gmail.com. To find out what Chris is, I guess, not into on Twitter, you can go to @feeks, and I am @twistofmatt. I talk about some things every once in a while. But yeah, so that's it. If you have any questions, send us an email or reach out to us on Twitter. We'll help you out. If anybody else has any advice for dealing with construction stuff, please let me know, because I'm a little terrified of it, to be honest with you, just because it's a new experience. But I guess it's a growing pain. Everybody's got to go through it at least once. I mean,
And here, just remember this. Why do it right the first time when there's time to go back the second?
Absolutely. If you're going to do something right, do it right the second time.
Yes, exactly. That is the motto of all construction projects.
I mean, I kind of even saw that when we had our bathroom redone. I mean, there's no networking involved in having a bathroom redone. But
I don't know. You could get like this network attached bidet. How fun would that be?
That's kind of weird. Alexa. But all right. But that's our show this week, and we'll see you next week. See you later, Chris.
See you later, Matt.